Proverbs chapter 8 says, "Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, 'To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, discern prudence, and O fools, discern wisdom.'" Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Wisdom is so critical. Wisdom is what is lacking in our world today. And we have people, as it says in Romans chapter 1, professing to be wise, they became fools. They became morons. That's the word, the word that's used there for fools. We got our English word moron from that. And we live in a moronic age, and we need to hear wisdom, and we need to have wisdom. We get wisdom from the Word of God. Somebody said, what is a good definition of wisdom? Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. Now, there are 31 proverbs in the Old Testament, and one for every day of the month. I was introduced in college to the fact that, hey, a proverb a day keeps the devil away. And just a funny little saying. But the emphasis was, every day read a proverb, Jeff. And when you read a proverb, ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask Him to show you how to see life from His perspective. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and they're just chocked full of wisdom. They're not promises per se, they're proverbs. And a proverb is a nugget of truth. It's kind of like Twitter before Twitter. Proverbs were little nuggets of things, just short little bursts of truth that says, this is what life is like. This is how life works. And it teaches us about life, and it gives us wisdom to know how to handle life. So we had talked last week about Dr. Charles Stanley going home to be with the Lord last Tuesday, and Dr. Chris Schroeder and I were on the program. We were talking about that. Well, his life passage was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And so we come to the Word of God. We say, Lord, help my heart to be soft and tender. Help me to learn. Help me to grow and speak to me. And God does speak. Now, the programming on American Family Radio is designed to help you be wise. It's designed to help you understand the Scripture. It's designed to help you understand the world from a biblical framework and from a biblical perspective, a biblical worldview. You know, there are just two worldviews. There's a biblical worldview, and then there's everything else. And if it's not coming from the Lord and it's not coming from the Word, then where's it coming from? It's coming from the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We have a new program out on American Family Radio, Dr. Nurse Mama. It's the newest podcast to AFR. It began this week, and we are hopefully going to talk to Dr. Jessica Peek, who is the host of Dr. Nurse Mama, in this broadcast. She's a pediatric nurse practitioner, a clinical professor at Baylor University, and she is an author. She's a wife and a mom of four teens, and the program is going to help parents with child raising and the challenges of today. You know, it's a lot harder to raise kids today than it was just a generation ago when my kids were little. Debbie and I, we took very, very seriously the responsibility that God had given to us in giving us these three beautiful little girls. And so we wanted to protect their minds and protect their hearts and what they listened to, the you know, videos that they watched and the shows we watched on television. You know, back in those days, we would rent videos. This is the day and age of VHS tapes. We would rent those from our church library, and there were lots of good little videos that they could watch. And you know how kids, they like to watch things over and over and over and over. And just, you know, wholesome Disney kind of classics that we would play, and they would watch those over and over, and videos that had songs to them, and we would sing those songs. Sometimes, you know, as a parent, you go crazy because you hear this thing. Oh, I mean, it's like we've watched this video 100 times, and but it was good for them, and it helped them to learn values. Quigley's Village was one that we would watch and taught the kids values, the value of other people's property, of you know, forgiving when someone hurts you, seeking forgiveness when you hurt someone, just basic foundational things for our kids. Well, this new podcast, Dr. Nurse Mama, is going to help parents raise kids today and teach them values. And Dr. Peek approaches everything from a biblical and a holistic health perspective. So hopefully we'll be able to talk to her today. So let's shift gears, and I want to talk to you about something that is an interesting topic in Scripture that many people don't understand very well at all, and it comes from the book of Malachi. There is a verse in Malachi chapter 1 that is, I think, greatly misunderstood. And this is what it says. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. And I have made his mountains a desolation and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. You have heard that statement. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And I want to ask you the question, how does that fit with the Bible? How does that fit with John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So does God love, I mean, we tell people this all the time. I tell people this all the time from the pulpit. God loves you and gave his son for you on the cross, John 3:16. But now, if God loves Jacob but hates Esau, would it then be right to say, well, God loves the whole world except Esau? It's almost like people think, I had a guy tell me this just a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, my life is such a mess and you know, God has thrown me out and he won't forgive me and won't do this, won't do that, won't do the other. I must be like Esau. The Lord hates me. And I thought, good grief. I mean, I just told the guy, I said, listen, you are believing lies, lies. And you're taking Scripture and misinterpreting Scripture. So what does it mean, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated? I don't think God is talking about an individual. I think God is talking about what Esau represents. He goes on to say in Malachi chapter 1, he says, though Edom is another name for Esau. Esau became the father of the Edomites. Though Edom says, the descendants of Esau, we have been beaten down, but we will return and build up the ruins. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will tear down, and men will call them the wicked territory and the people toward whom the Lord is indignant forever. So from Malachi 1, we learn that God hates Esau, and he's indignant to his descendants forever. So it's not just Esau. The Lord hates all those who come after Esau, who are in his loins, so to speak, the people whom the Lord is indignant forever. What in the world? Why do you hate all those people? Here's the thing. God hates what Esau represents. And Esau represents the flesh. God hates the flesh. And listen, there's a never-ending war between the flesh and the spirit. And God hates anything related to the flesh, and he loves what is related to his spirit. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And so there is a message that I heard years and years ago by Dr. Adrian Rogers that put that into perspective for me, and it helped me so much. Here's the bottom line, because we have our guest on the line, so I'm going to have to transition out. But here's the bottom line. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do what you please. God hates anything according to the flesh, and he blesses when we live our lives according to the Spirit. Jacob is a picture of a yieldedness to the Spirit, and Esau a picture of rebellion against the Spirit. So let's transition to Dr. Jessica Peek, the host of the brand new podcast, Dr. Nurse Mama. Dr. Peek, thank you for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. So I know you just have a few minutes, but tell us a little bit about the new podcast.
Well, it is the Dr. Nurse Mama podcast, and that means it's my professor brain. I'm a nursing professor. It's my hands-on nursing experience. I've been a pediatric nurse practitioner for 20 years, and my heart as a mom, I really want to be a guide on the side for parents who are trying to navigate just significant cultural issues and cultural change and things that we just never encountered as parents, you know, when we were growing up. And so we're trying to find new ways. And I really want to bring hope for healthy families.
Well, and you know what this is like? You're raising right now four teenagers. Is that correct?
That is correct, although my oldest did turn 20 last week, so she would be very upset if I didn't give her credit for that. So yeah. I have three teenagers and one 20-year-old as of last week.
Okay, so now, Dr. Peek, when your babies were little, were you working outside the home or were you staying home?
Well, you know, I really have been very blessed to have a nursing career that's very flexible. So I've done a lot of different things. I've always been able to be a nurse, but sometimes just, you know, part-time, sometimes just working as needed. Sometimes I would teach from home. Sometimes I would do clinicals in the afternoon just for a couple of weeks at a time. And I was very blessed to have a wonderful mother-in-law who helped watch my babies whenever I would do that. But now I'm a professor at Baylor University, and I work in primary care, and that's also just been really great to have a flexible time to be able to be there for all of the, you know, school parties and those kinds of things. It's been a real blessing.
So what do you think is raising teenagers today? What is one of the biggest struggles that parents have?
You know, I think one of the biggest struggles is just worrying that we are getting it wrong. And because today is such a day of instant gratification, we're looking for instant gratification from our kids that our parenting is good. We want to see their behavior immediately change because that gives us feedback that, hey, I must be doing a good job because I see this behavior. And we kind of treat parenting like growing a chia pet. I don't know if you ever had one of those,
yeah. But
you know, just a little effort and in a couple of days, hey, we have a plant, everything's fine. And in this day, when we're living at the speed of a smartphone, we don't have a lot of tolerance for long-term problems and long-term struggles. But parenting is really like growing a pineapple, and it takes 24 months for that to grow. And so we water and we water and we take care of it. And we're expectant, knowing that planting and harvesting don't happen in the same season. And I think parents are really unsure of themselves because there's so many new things, and we have a lot of fear-based parenting. I mean, we're hearing about fentanyl or sexting or, you know, just all human trafficking, all kinds right. of things that could threaten our kids. And I really want to leave fear-based parenting behind and parent with confidence, knowing that, you know, we can navigate this culture and we can come out of that. And I think that the key to that is through healthy relationships with our kids. That's Amen. The way to influence them.
Amen. Dr. Nurse Mama on American Family Radio.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
And you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on afr.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
God made His design for marriage and family absolutely clear. Unfortunately, Satan has a totally opposite view. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023 wants to restore God's plan. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, strengthen your marriage and your family with Miki Addison.
The family, God's tool to advance the gospel and grow the church. This is why the enemy attacks it so much.
Israel Wayne.
The latest government statistics say dads spend 19 minutes a day with their children, and the average mom spends an hour a day. We have to have time with them.
Stephen Black.
This lust, this inordinate desire, actually brings destruction to everyone around. How do you know this? Because I used to be homosexual.
And many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Let me just second the ad you heard for the Marriage Family Life Conference in July in Tupelo, Mississippi. Debbie and I were part of that last time, and it was it's just a great conference. It's great for the whole family. You'll learn, you'll grow, you'll spend time together. So I encourage you to carve out that time in your schedule and go as a family to this great conference that is coming in July in Tupelo. You won't be sorry that you did. Well, I need to apologize. So I have written down some notes for the program Dr. Nurse Mama that started this week on American Family Radio. And for some reason, Jessica Peck, the C became an E, and I was calling her Dr. Jessica Peek. And so my apologies to the Dr. Nurse Mama. And it is Peck. And she is very, very well-spoken, very wise, loves the Lord, loves her husband, and loves her kids. And she is right in the thick of it, raising four teenagers, one that just turned 20. But that's going to be a great program for parents to go to. And you can go on AFR.net and listen to the podcast from Dr. Jessica Peck and not Peak. Now, I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, when I think of that, the title of the program, Doctor, Nurse, Mama, I always think of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. That was kind of our go-to when our kids were little, and we watched that. I think it came on Friday nights. Anyway, well, we watched that as a family Friday or Saturday. We watched that with the girls when they were little, and Dr. Quinn, who is played by Jane Seymour, She was the town doctor, and she was strong and wise and beautiful, and so all those things. Anyway, I encourage you as a listener, especially to share with your friends, young moms and dads, hey, tune in and be blessed and learn practical wisdom from somebody that's been there, somebody that is there in the trenches, and somebody that can help you. All right, so let's, I asked the question in the first segment as we were waiting for Dr. Peck to come on. Why does God hate Esau? Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. And what is it about Esau? I shared with my church just last Wednesday night from Genesis chapter 25, the passage about Jacob and Esau coming into this world. And I said, you know, God doesn't have a hatred toward Esau like you think of Happy Gilmore with Bob Barker. I hate that Bob Barker. It's not like that. When God says that he hates Esau, he hates what Esau represents. And I believe that Esau represents the flesh. And why do I believe that? Well, his mother, Rebecca, she is with child, actually with children, because Jacob and Esau were twins. And she was having such trouble, and she prayed in her pregnancy, and she said, Lord, the children are struggling within her. And she said to the Lord, if it is so, why am I this way? So she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Can you imagine? And two people shall be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. That was God's sovereign choice. He chose Jacob. Jacob's name got changed to Israel, and Jacob, Israel slash Israel, became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And God, as he appeared to Moses at the burning bush, remember he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Abraham had two sons, two main sons, Ishmael and Isaac. God didn't choose Ishmael. Ishmael was the son of the slave girl, of the bond woman. He chose Isaac. Isaac is the son of the free woman, as it says in Galatians 4. And Isaac was the son of miracle birth, the son of promise from God. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God didn't choose Esau, he chose Jacob. And so the Christ is going to come through the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's going to be from one of the sons of Jacob from the tribe of Judah. Well, this is what the Lord says concerning the birth of Jacob and Esau. It says, when Rebekah's days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red, all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. He's red all over. Now the word red means, is literally the word Adam. The first one came forth and he is like Adam, born in Adam. As in Adam, all die. So as in Christ, all shall be made alive. He's hairy. And, you know, nobody wants to have a little baby boy that's just covered in hair. I showed a picture Wednesday night when I preached on this of a baby yak, a red baby yak. And I said, "There, that's like Esau. He's red all over like a hairy garment." And they named him Esau, which means rough or hairy. And it says, and afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob, which means heel grabber. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. And the boys grew up. Esau became a skillful hunter. He has a desire to kill and a man of the field. But Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. So there's a contrast there. Esau is a hairy guy. He's red all over. He's in Adam, and Jacob is a smooth man. Esau is a hunter. Jacob is a peaceful man. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And the Bible says in that same passage in Genesis 25, when the boys grew up, Esau was cooking, or Jacob was cooking. Esau came in from the field, and he said, "I'm famished. Give me some of that stew that you have, that red stuff." And Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "Well, I'm about to die, so what use is that birthright to me?" And Jacob says, "First, swear to me." So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. So you have such a contrast here, and God hates not Jacob, not Esau as a person. He hates what Esau represents, and Esau represents being in Adam. Esau represents the flesh, dominated by the flesh, dominated by physical appetites. Esau saw no value in the tremendous value of the birthright, and he sold it for a bowl of stew. And that is just shocking, that you would have such a low value on something that is so prized like the birthright. Jacob had a lot of problems, and Jacob as a picture of the spirit is a very, very, very faint picture. Esau is a very strong picture of the flesh. Jacob is a very faint picture of the spirit. But Jacob did see the value in the birthright, and he wanted it. And Esau said, "It's not worth even a bowl of stew. I'll trade my birthright for the stew." And so God hates what Esau represents. He has indignation forever against the flesh. Now, you and I struggle with the flesh. There's a never-ending war that we have with the flesh. Every Christian knows that there is a battle within, and that battle doesn't go away just because you're growing in the Lord. It's still there. I remember reading a testimony about an American Indian. He was led to Christ by a missionary, and he gave his testimony. He said, I am so happy now, and you know, I just feel like I'm never going to sin again. But then what happened? Real life hit him, and he felt that inner conflict that we all feel as Christians. And somebody asked him about it, and he said, well, it's kind of like this. He said, I feel like two dogs live inside of me. And he said, one dog wants to do good, and one wants to do evil. And they asked him, they said, well, which dog wins in that battle? He said, the one that I feed the most. There's a poem that says, two natures dwell within my breast. One is foul and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. Hey, which do you feed? Do you feed the flesh or do you feed the spirit? They're in opposition to one another. And that's another picture of Jacob and Esau. What were they doing in the womb? They were struggling against each other. They were fighting each other in the womb. God hates what Esau represents. He has indignation forever against the flesh. Now, interesting, very interesting. Genesis 4, you have the story of the two boys, Cain and Abel. Cain came with his offering to the Lord, and Abel came with his offering to the Lord. Cain offered to God the fruit of the ground that had been cursed because of sin. He offered God he was a farmer. Here's what I did, Lord. And Abel, on his part, came according to the word of God, according to faith, and he offered a blood sacrifice. God had regard for Abel and his offering. He had no regard for Cain and his offering. Remember, Cain got very angry. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, behold, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain offered to God what he wanted to offer to God. He offered to God the work of his hands. He offered to God what he could do in his own strength, in his own power. He offered to God the fruit of the flesh, so to speak. Well, God has no regard for that. God hates that. What did Abel do? Well, Abel said, I don't really understand it, but God said he wants a blood sacrifice. And when mom and dad sinned, that's what he immediately did. He killed an animal and they saw bloodshed, and he clothed them with coats of animal skin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Hebrews 11 says that Abel offered a sacrifice by faith. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't have faith without the word of God. Faith just means you respond to the word of God. You take a step out on the word of God. And so he did that. He offered to God a blood sacrifice as God had required, and God had regard for Abel and his offering. For Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Hey, that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. We can never come to God in the flesh. God is opposed to the flesh. Those who are in the flesh, Romans 8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, because God hates anything that comes from the flesh. You say, well, what exactly is the flesh? Well, the flesh is not your skin and bones, your hide and hair. The best way to understand the flesh is to spell it out, F-L-E-S-H. Take off the H and spell it backwards, and you have S-E-L-F. That's the flesh itself. It's the big I. It's pride. It's I did it my way. That's the flesh. God hates that. The flesh says to the Lord, not your will, but mine be done. God hates that. You can't offer anything to God that has the fingerprints of the flesh on it. He hates it. You know, it says in Isaiah 64 that our righteous deeds are as a filthy rag in God's sight, that our good deeds, if you offer to God what you can do in the power of your flesh, he's never going to accept it, because that's a filthy rag to God. And so when our good deeds become filthy rags, there's nothing that you and I can do that would ever earn God's favor, so to speak, that would ever please God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's the things that we do in the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that matter. Those are the things that please God. So we talk about in the Christian life, every Christian, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Every Christian is going to have to stand before the Lord one day and give an account of his life, her life. And how does the Lord judge? Now, it's not a judgment to see whether you go to heaven or hell. That's decided the moment you receive Christ. You're going to heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But at the judgment seat of Christ, that's the Bema judgment, B-E-M-A, it's pronounced Bema, not Bema. And at that judgment, you're going to be rewarded, and the Lord is going to look at how you lived. And I think the question is going to be, as he tests us by fire, what did you do in the power of the flesh? That'll all burn away. That's wood, hay, and straw. What did you do yielded to my spirit? What did you do in the power of the spirit? What did you do in a heart of faith that stepped out on my word, that wasn't trusting in self, but was trusting in the Savior? That is gold, silver, precious stone. That is the stuff that will last and stand the test of the fire. Jacob I loved, because Jacob wants to go in the direction of the Lord. Esau I hated, because Esau represents the flesh and everything that's against God. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, the phone lines will be open. I'd love to take your call. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk whatever's on your heart. Maybe Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, let's talk about it. We'll be back right after the break.
Here's Ellis Kraft of Reach a Village Ministries.
My father and founder of Reach a Village recalls this memory from Asia. He will never forget the first time he saw a young boy bowing in worship before a lifeless stone idol in an ancient temple. The smoking incense lifted above the boy's head as he bowed repeatedly. It broke his heart to realize that neither this boy nor his family had ever heard about Jesus. His village, like thousands of others, had no believers, no Bibles, and no church. Reach a Village specializes in sending local believers into unreached areas. Go to reachavillage.org/AFR and give today, and your gift will be matched dollar for dollar, or call toll-free 833-773-2247. That's 833-7-REACH-7.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
I've traveled a lot. I've met with people from all over the country.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about the never-ending war, the battle inside between the flesh and the spirit. Who is going to sit on the throne of your life? Are you going to yield it every day to the Spirit and His power, or are you going to sit there? I think it was Major Ian Thomas who said, in every Christian's heart, there's a throne and there's a cross. And when self is on the throne, Christ is on the cross. But when Christ is on the throne, then self is on the cross. And that's how we're supposed to live. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Every day, we are to come before the Lord. Romans 12, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And every day we have an opportunity as we yield to the Lord. We can be a witness. We can shine and share and show to the world that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, and how God is good to us, and how His grace is so amazing, and how He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. And He not only gives us eternal life, He gives us abundant life. and he changes us from the inside out. And we are the witnesses, when we're yielded, the witnesses he wants us to be to a lost and dying world. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Love to talk to you. And we have Naomi on the line from Pennsylvania. Naomi, welcome back to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff. I want to thank you that you pray for my daughter, Elizabeth. And I hear that you said that earlier that the issue represents the flesh, you said?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh. And do you think that when we read Romans chapter 9, verse 12 through 18, it shows, you know, that it shows us that we can ask the Lord, you know, what he's doing, because he has mercy in whom he has mercy, and he shows his glory, you know, even you know, in the life of the most restless person. So
right.
Can you please read, if you want? I don't want to ask you to read it, because I know probably you know. Romans chapter 9, verse 12 through 18.
Yes. Yes. So, it says in Romans 9, it was said to her, this is to Rebecca, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. So he goes back in Romans 9:13, he's quoting from Malachi chapter 1. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. Everything that happens is under the sovereignty and the plan of God. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say then to me, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me this way? Will it, or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? So, that's a passage that many of our brothers and sisters who hold to Calvinism, they point to that. See, God chose Jacob. He didn't choose Esau. Had nothing to do with the boys. And it's God's choice, and man doesn't have a choice. And that's not, you know, that's not without some pushback. And people will dispute that and say, you know, that's not talking about an individual. It's talking about two nations are in your womb. And so, you know, here's the bottom line with that, Naomi. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he invited people to come to Christ. He said, you are guilty of a horrible sin. You have murdered your Messiah. And they said, what then shall we do? What do you do? Well, you can't do anything, because it's all based on God's choice. So I hope, you know, hope you're elect. Now, what do? You respond. You respond. And when we respond to God, what do we find? We find God's mercy and God's grace. When you leave the pigsty of sin, God, in the story of the prodigal son, the father runs to that son who is broken, convicted, and repentant. And so, I'm not one that holds to the fact that, you know, man has no free will and it doesn't matter, because the Bible clearly indicates that it does matter, and you are going to be judged for failing to believe in Christ and failing to come to Christ and responding to his plea, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, Does that help at all, Naomi?
Yes, and yes, thank you. And my second question is, no, don't worry, I believe in free will as well, because it's there in the Bible. They are both there, and we have to search the scriptures from beginning to the end, so we can find that the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 31, he clearly says, look, I put in front of you life and death. If you choose life, you will live. But if you choose death, you will die. I put in front of you, curse right. and blessing. If you choose curse, you're going to die. If you choose blessing, you're going to live. So the Lord make it very easy for us. And now my second question is, please, is the do you think that God hates people? Or he hates, something? I mean, some things?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I don't think God hates it when people are coming against him. He hates it when people are rebellious toward him. But he wants to save people. The Father didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent the Son into the world to save the world. Now, when the Son came into the world, the world was against him because the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. And the Lord hated it when Saul of Tarsus was breathing out threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord and hauling people to prison. As Paul said before his conversion, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. But the Lord didn't hate him. He hated what he was doing. The Lord wanted to save Saul of Tarsus and make him Paul the Apostle, arguably the greatest Christian who ever lived. And so I hear people saying that, that God hates, he hates evildoers. Well, he hates the evil that people do. But to say that he hates an evildoer is to cut that person off from salvation. And to me, I think John 3:16 would trump that. God doesn't hate people. God loves people, and Jesus died for people. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. He is not willing or wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so if you think about it, in your life, in my life, in our lives, we were all against God before we yielded to God, before we trusted Christ. We were wanting to do what we wanted to do. Sin is not necessarily, robbing banks and killing people, although those are sins. But sin is just basically all, Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has gone to his own way. We just want to do our own thing. It's the temptation of Eve in the garden. If you eat of this fruit, you disobey God and you will be your own God. You won't need God. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. That is at the core of sin, that I can be the captain of my own ship, that I can do what I want to do. And that's what is the temptation, the allure for all of us. It's either we pray with Jesus, not my will, Father, but yours be done, or we say, not your will, Father, but mine be done. And who is going to, whose will is going to govern? And it goes back to what we said at the top of the program, Naomi, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And so for a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside, and we need to yield every day to him. Anything else to add to that?
In Proverbs, so why then, Pastor Jeff, we read in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, the seven things that the God hates. And that right. when we read as well, Luke chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, if you do not hate, brother, sister, father, more than me, you are not worthy of me. Take right. up your cross daily and follow me. Now, I understand that is not, for us to hate, our family, because we have to love them and show right. them, how God sent his only begotten son to die for them so they can be saved, from hell and from right. their own sin and from death as well. Mm-hmm. But, even Jesus says, I do not come here, to bring peace, but to bring,
a sword.
A sword, mm-hmm. In the earth, in the world. Now, we understand that. So when we come to our own family, which are they are the enemy in our own household, just like Jesus said, when we come to them and let them know about, you know, about the word of the Lord, and so they can turn to God, because God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's what Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11 says. Now, if that's true, we understand, which it is true, we understand that when we let them know, you know, in the danger that they are, if they continue walking against the will of the Lord, you know, and walking in rebellion toward Him, that's when they bring hatred, you know, to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so very good, Naomi. And now tell me where you're from.
No, from Dominican Republic.
Oh, okay. I love your voice. It's just, and I can tell that you spend a lot of time in the scripture. Is that right?
Praise the Lord. It's only Him that gave me the understanding, because one thing I asked Him when I came to Him and I recognized that I was a sinner, in 2003, I bowed out to my knees and I said, please, Lord, I do not want to go to hell. Please show me your way. And please, Lord, forgive me all my sins. I want to just follow you. I just want to understand and to see truth. Please, Lord, show me your way. So when I read in James chapter 1, verse 5, I love it. It says very clear in verse 6. It says that when you ask Him when you ask Him faith to give you understanding, you know, to give you wisdom, He gives it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. And that's a great promise in James 1. Okay, so Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So that is a love hate that is a comparison, because does the Lord want me to hate my father and mother? It's in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you live long on the earth. And so it's not a hate like, oh, I can't stand my father and mother, I just hate them. No, it's in comparison to Him. So we love Him supremely and over anybody else, over even ourselves, that we have this love that's with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind for the Lord. And if we don't have that, then He says, you can't really be my disciple. If it's not, you know, if it's not just me that has captured your heart, then you can't be my disciple. And then He goes on to say, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So we have to be willing to die to self to follow the Lord Jesus. And so obviously we are called to love. Second greatest commandment is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we're called to love our neighbor, called to love ourselves. But the love for God is supreme. And it's almost like hate that we have for everything else because of our love for the Lord. Hey, Naomi, it was great to talk to you. I love your spirit. I love your desire to learn and grow and obviously your knowledge of the Word. So God bless you. May He continue to use you and put His hand upon you. Well, thank you for joining me today. Real Truth for Today. And I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Tomorrow, we're going to talk to my friend, Dr. Mike Stone, from Blackshear, Georgia, the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, and it's going to be a great conversation. You don't want to miss it. Go out, shine and share, and let God use you as His witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.